Wonderful how he speaks in seasons. He confirms and confirms and confirms the word, whether it's being a season of certain things coming up or through prophecy in the meeting, as he has done tonight, praise God. God's been working this sort of for a week or so in my heart, and then on Sunday we had that blessed message. But we're getting back into Romans chapter 14, and looking at the last part there. Praise God. We'll start with verse 20. If you remember, we've given it a bit of a break, now we're back. So just to remind ourselves where we are. Romans chapter 14, start with verse 20. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offence. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So we're talking here about how we come over. It's one thing to have faith. One thing to know, and we should know, our liberty in the gospel. Jesus has set us free. But in order for us, some of us, in order for us to understand and experience that, God has had to work. You don't always come straight into that knowledge, into that freedom. And it's sometimes so easy for us who've been worked on, who've been in this walk many, many years, sometimes, whatever it would be, pride or whatever, we can forget. And so somebody comes in, not sure, the parameters of their liberty. Can they, can't they, should they, shouldn't they? And it's very easy to come down and say, you can eat that, brother or sister, you can do that, don't you know you've been set free? We need to be sensitive. Faith works by love. And yes, we want to see people grow up. We want to see people blessed by what Jesus has done. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. He's not ashamed because he's experienced the power of the gospel setting him free. A man under great bondage, terrible bondage as a Pharisee of the Pharisee. Slaughtering Christians, putting them in prison. And he knew the power of the gospel to set him free. But that takes a time. It takes a working. And we can't just flaunt our freedom and force it on other people. As we live by example, as we teach by example, as people see that peace, that joy, that love, that nothing bothers us. We don't get upset with it. We're not bound by the elements, the rudiments of the world or the law. That grace is working. People will say in their hearts, I want that. Our life is our message. Our relationships is our message. And as people taste the fruit of what God has done in our life, they will come seeking, they will want more. Taste and see that the Lord is good. They will taste that, they will experience it, and they will want more. The more we taste, the more hungry we get. We don't have to bash people over the head with what we think we know of our theology and our legalism. Remember what God has had to do in you and I to bring us to a place of complete liberty. And so what Paul is talking about here, specifically, you know, eating meat or drinking wine or feast days, God brings us all into a knowledge that we are free in Christ. Yes. But that conscience must go through a process of education. We can't force our experience or our knowledge on another brother or sister. This is why we pray. This is where our prayer comes in. Because you cannot get a person to copy you and think they're in faith. This is where a stumbling comes in. Now, if we're with weak brethren and they're going to stumble through it, we can hold back. It's only a meal. It's only a bit of food. It's only a drink. You know, you'll survive that day. you go home that evening or whatever, or the next day, you'll have your proper meal and stuff, won't you? You don't destroy God's work for the sake of, look what I can do in Christ. Now, yes, at some point, that person will grow. They will grow by the word as we pray them through. God is restoring that to the body of Christ as we intercede, and God will get to work on that person and they will grow. So he then says in verse 22, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. You've got nothing to prove. Have you got faith? Well, praise God. Who gave you that faith? Who quickened that faith? Who put that seed of faith in your heart? Did you invent it? Are you so righteous that you were born believing? Who gave you that faith? Who worked that faith in your heart? Have it to yourself before God. That doesn't mean compromise or hide your light under, you know, under a bushel. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you don't have to prove anything to man. Your faith will speak for itself. James, see, people get confused about justification by faith, and then James comes along and contradicts it and talks about justified by works and what is going on. Take the whole revelation together. Paul is talking here about the difference between faith and works. His whole revelation here is that a man is justified by faith apart from works. And the whole revelation of the New Testament, both Paul and James, they're not contradicting each other. James is saying, if you've got faith, it will work. It's a living, active faith. The faith will work. Paul is saying you're justified by faith. You cannot earn your salvation by religious works. God has placed within you a seed of faith that will grow, that will come to fullness of its fruit, but also bear fruit. And he's saying here, don't work. Don't do something as a work to try and prove you've got faith. Let faith develop and its works will follow. Have you got faith? Praise God. Have it to yourself before God. Don't try and show off with it. Don't flaunt it with people. Don't be a stumbling block by your faith, by your liberty, by what you know God is doing in and through you. Let God vindicate you. Let the faith that God has worked in you speak for itself. Your faith will give glory to God. You don't have to go around telling people, showing people, I'm a man of faith, and trust me, brother, you can eat that. He's got to know that for himself. And it says, happy is he, blessed is he that does not condemn himself in what he approves. A lot of us get this the wrong way around. Just like man, isn't it, to get the wrong end of the stick. That, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, you see, I can allow whatever I like and not condemn myself. Because the word says, I'm blessed if I don't condemn myself in what I allow. So I'm allowing this and I'm not condemned. Got it the wrong way round. We often allow ourselves things because of the sin and the pride and the fear that dwells in our hearts. And we end up condemning ourselves. We end up thinking, oops, I've missed it. What has gone wrong? What this means is, this is a man or woman who understands their liberty in Christ, and what they allow, because the law of love is working in their heart, doesn't condemn them. Because it's just within their heart, all they want to do is obey God, is please God. Walking in faith that works by love, walking in that liberty wherewith Christ has set them free. So because they're allowing what God has worked in their heart, praise God, they're not condemned. Because they've understood that liberty is also a call to service. And so they're not causing any offence. The cross is working in their life. You see, until we have understood that the cross is our faith, that our faith is commitment, that faith and the cross and commitment have to be revealed to us by the Spirit, who then works that in our life, we're going to remain immature. We're going to remain self-indulgent. Our prayers are going to be all about ministering to me and crying out to God with what is on my heart about my life. Friends, until our faith is a daily walk of total dependence on God, we will never mature in the faith. Don't, you know, we somehow think that, okay, I've got a need and I'm going to seek God for my need and I'm going to seek God for my need, and all it is like, if I give God faith, he will meet my need. Totally missing why God has given us faith. Or we sit around because we're not particularly going through any trials, so we, oh, praise God, this yoke, this my shackles are gone, I can just relax a bit now and just, you know, watch a bit of TV and just do whatever I want for a while, and then we lose our consecration, things start hotting up a bit, God begins to shake because he's getting our attention, and we run back to him because now things are serious, we've got an emergency, and God in his mercy begins to work with us, and we start walking that narrow walk again because, well, praise God, that was close, that was hot, and we have to seek God, or an emergency arises, and try and use that faith that God has given us to help me with that emergency, and we wonder why it takes years, or sometimes it doesn't work, and this whole thing is hopeless. We've failed to understand why God has given us faith. God has put faith, which is a work of the Spirit. You see, we can do works of the flesh, but faith is a work of the Spirit. God has given us faith so that he can fulfill his will in and through our life. It's not just to meet our needs. It begins with our needs because that's how we prove God's faithfulness. But needs are not the point. The point is his will, the fulfillment of his redemptive will in and through vessels who know what it is to trust God because of a daily walk of faithfulness, of total dependence as we walk each day, totally dependent on him for everything. That's how we learn faith. You see, we look at that scripture where it says, where Jesus learnt obedience by the things he suffered. So we think, oh, praise God, okay, trials, I'm going to learn obedience by the things we suffer. But we don't always. We suffer, but we don't always learn obedience through that thing. Sometimes it makes us worse. Sometimes it hardens our heart. We become bitter and resentful and angry. What have we failed to understand? Submission to the Father's will. That's what it's about. It's not about the outward suffering or the outward works and the doings of it. Oh, well, I must be in faith because I'm doing. Dear friends, whatsoever is not from faith is sin. Don't try this. Oh, somebody's acting their faith. I better jump on. I better do the same thing. Friends, what are we getting to with this? Faith is a commitment. Because faith has been put in our heart by the Spirit. And if we're not daily feeding our faith, feeding on God's word, that total dependence where, yes, I could go to the arm of the flesh to remove the symptom. I could do that because it's available. But God has put something within our hearts. If we're overcomers, God has put such a love in our heart for Jesus, such a love in our heart for our Lord, that he provided in the atonement. He went to Calvary, shed his blood to provide what he has revealed in his promises. I will not insult him by going to somebody else. I want to learn faith. I want to get this walk right. Yes. I maybe have lots of fear. I'm struggling with doubt and unbelief, and the evidence in my circumstances, the evidence, the feeling in my body, the evidence that is being suggested to my flesh is warring against the evidence that God gives. And the only way to overcome it is not willpower and trying and guilt and condemnation and I want to, and if I go to the arm of the flesh I'll let the Lord down and what am I going to do? Dear friends, the Holy Spirit has ordained faith. God has ordained that we believe and trust We accomplish these things by faith. So what have we got to do? Wait on God and feed each day on His word. In prayer. In that relationship. Your faith is strengthened by the word. Open your heart to God in prayer. Allow the Spirit to minister His word to your heart. Because that's the only way faith comes. Faith comes a number of ways. The word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. But it's strengthened. So we eat, don't we? We have that right diet. The athletes, that are consecrated to their event, they train, but they have a proper diet. So the word is that diet that feeds our faith. The training, what's the training? The daily walk of dependence on God. We exercise our faith each day in the little things. And as we exercise our faith each day in the little things, total dependence on God, we begin to see Him work. We become sensitive to His ways. And our faith is getting stronger so that it eventually will meet the bigger things. Trials strengthen our faith. But also there's a rest as well. The athletes don't eat and train all the time. They also have rest, not just sleep. But they're also told to relax so that the muscles have time to recover. What is that rest? Praying in the Spirit. Oh, if only we could strengthen that faith by praying more in the Spirit, Jude 20. Praying always in the Holy Ghost. Building up ourselves in our most holy faith. You can't neglect any of this. That prayer life, and this is where we get it wrong. That prayer life is personal preparation. A lot of us have missed out. We're praying and praying and praying and trying to battle through and use that old ramrod, ramming through by prayer and prayer and prayer, missing the point. Because there's a place for that kind of prayer in spiritual warfare as the Lord anoints and leads by His Spirit. But for a promise to meet a personal need, God is bringing us. God wants us. Friends, have we understood what faith is? There are many aspects to faith. But that personal prayer, that prayer is a personal preparation. As we're seeking God, as we're waiting on God, as we're strengthening our faith, it's our personal relationship with Him. He's bringing us to that place. Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. We speak to that situation. We shouldn't be praying and praying and praying, Lord, meet my need. Friends, bless your hearts. The prayer is that I may know Him.
Yes, amen.
And in knowing Him, that word in our hearts, you see what God is doing, it's the word that is changing our thinking. That word in our hearts that is producing that fruit. The very life of Christ being produced in our heart so that we speak. And every time the devil presents his evidence, that feeling or that circumstance, every time, what we mentioned earlier about the struggle that we have where the flesh presents evidence, that argument against what God has said. Every time that happens, we just speak the word. Because that is God's evidence for our faith. God has given us the best evidence for faith. The God of heaven has spoken it. Our loving Heavenly Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has given us His word. Jesus given us His blood. Poured out the Holy Spirit. His Spirit now dwells within us. And we speak in tongues. We have all the evidence we need to believe God. We don't have to keep praying and praying and praying. We're trying to substitute faith by prayer, and you can't do it. When the word works, as we just let God's word do that work in our heart, our way of thinking is changed. We then begin to harmonize our confession, our thoughts, our attitudes and motives with God's word. Let God's word take over. Let God's word be the power of your faith. And that whatever the situation, we can then speak it and confess it. And every time we think about it, thank you, Jesus, not keep praying. We're depressed. Some of you are depressed. You're frustrated. Why hasn't it worked? Why hasn't it changed? Well, because you haven't believed. But I've been praying and praying. That's my point. When we believe, we confess. We speak. We let it go. Hallelujah. It's God's work. When we're believing in any situation, if we're talking about a promise, aren't we? That we have a need. So what do you need to know? What is the most important thing you and I can ever know? God's will. God's will in that situation. Lord, what is your will for that situation? Open the word. Come to the meetings. You will hear God's will. You will have God's will revealed to you by the Spirit. Just a matter then of just whether or not you want to do God's will in that matter. His promise. It's a wonderful promise. Based, it cost Jesus his blood to give us those promises. Based on atonement. Reconciliation, that means covering. Yes, God's dealing with sin, but we've got countless promises for that, haven't we? Yes. As we bow the knee and receive the power of God's word by his Spirit. His Spirit working that divine life through the seed of his word, bringing forth that faith. When we start acting our faith, friends, let it be faith doing it all. Let it be the word coming to life. Faith will do its own acting. The heart will bring forth the word and bring forth that fruit in its own time, in its own way. And the faith will then confess and thank God. Our prayers are to be intercessory, one for another. Amen. Prayers for the kingdom, warring in the heavenly realm, removing satanic hindrances to breakthroughs that this assembly we're longing for. Eh? Or are we still, me and my needs? Yes, okay, we have needs. God has given us, you know, scriptures that deal with our need. But if we're seeking first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, you have to pray for all these things? My Bible doesn't say that. What does yours say? Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness and... What?
Lord.
Added. Why? Because my Father, your Father, knows what we have need of before we ask. So why are we providing him with all that information? Why are we wasting all that time reminding him of our need? He already knows. Let go. What he's called us to is to labour in his vineyard, confident that he will provide. He's got better things for us to do. Oh, praise God. The world worries about its next meal and the bill and the credit crunch and everything else. We're not subject to the credit crunch because we're not in the world. We're in Christ. We're under his blood. We're not part of the curse. We've been set free. All these agencies that have been set up to help people with their marital and family problems. That's because they're under the curse. We're in Christ. We've been set free. We're under his blood. We have countless promises to believe. The only evidence faith needs is, has God said it? And God has said it. Faith settles it. Faith receives it. The reason we're struggling still, friends, is because we're still works thinking. If I do this, I've got to do this to prove I'm in faith. That's been our problem.
Yeah, that's right, Lord.
We will to do it, but we don't really want to do it. That love, that affection, that yielding, as we heard on Sunday, praise God. Yield to the Spirit. Now, yielding to the Spirit, still, you see, we still maybe are yielding to the Spirit. I've got to obey God. Oh, my will and my effect. Oh, I'm not going to obey God. I've got to yield to the Spirit. Praise God. That's why we teach waiting on God. As we bow the knee before God, yielding to the Spirit also includes yielding to the Word, which is Spirit and life. And let God put that Word in your heart. And believe that when God puts His Word in your heart, His Word is going to do what He says it will. But we're trying to analyse it. We dig it up and kill it at its roots before it's had a chance to work. Because we're not sure. Will God's Word do what it says? Will the Spirit enable me to overcome in all things? Good job we weren't there at creation, isn't it? Otherwise it wouldn't have happened. Lord, are you sure? You're just speaking it into existence. Surely you've got to start. You know, don't you need a lesson in botany or something? How can you just create trees? Oh, praise God. We're like Peter, aren't we? Trying to stop Jesus going to the cross because don't understand. Oh, hallelujah. God's word in our hearts will do the work if we just believe that. We're trying to, because we're in pain, because it's a difficult circumstance, we want that change. And we're trying to get God's word to work the change in our circumstances, missing the point. That the change must first come in our hearts, in our attitude, our relationship to Him, repentance and holiness, and loving God with all our heart. Paul said this one thing, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. But you know He's already given us that. May I remind you in Colossians. Oh, praise God. We're working far too hard. Really missing the point. It's God that's doing the work, friends. Colossians chapter 2. Glory to God. I'm not just shouting for the sake of it. This is God trying to get our, trying to bless and encourage. Let God do the work. The work that He begun, He will finish. Colossians chapter 2. We'll start with verse 11. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. There's no more circumcising to do. There's no more laws, no more legalism for you to do in your own strength. God has done that in Christ. Christ in us and us in Christ. That's been done. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but you has He quickened, placed us in Christ by His Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
That work has been done. It is finished, Jesus said. Buried with Him in baptism. Why were we baptized? Baptized into His death. Friends, we are in partaking of the death. We're now raised up in Him. We've experienced the resurrection.
Yes.
We should be now experiencing, we're raised up into a new life in Christ.
Hallelujah.
What happens when a baby is born? Does the mum sort of try and force and make the thing grow? And no, that life just does what it does. It lives and it grows and it grows. Toddler, child, you know, adolescent, adult. The life knows what to do.
Yes.
And so it is in Christ. Much more that God's life within us, the new life, that resurrection life and power, if we did but know, it would just let it take over. As we, you see, you can't look on two things at the same time. You can't look at your symptoms. You can't look at your circumstances and the promise. You can't look at life and death at the same time. So as we our labouring in this is God's word. As we pay the price each day to embrace that word, a steadfast look, a continual look at God's word. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Stay with God's word. Let God's word by His Spirit feed your faith. Right? Without trying, without struggling, in a love relationship, Lord, talk to me. Speak to me. You know, you praise Him first and you're in His presence. You're loving the Lord and you're letting him love you. Let him show you his word. Psalm 119. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law. Let him open the word to you. And that word, and as you come to these meetings as well, as you receive this word, it's imparting to you the divine life. It's encouraging your faith to look to him and forget about yourself, your circumstances, the day you've had. Buried with him in baptism. You see, if we're crucified and buried, what can happen to us? That's that revelation. Do you remember where we got set free from fear? Because fear says, what's going to happen to me? What will become of me? I'm going through some things. This is awful. Well, we're being crucified with Christ. We want the crown of gold, but we're not so keen on the crown of thorns, you know. We want the power of God to surge through us, through our hands for healing, but we've forgotten that there are nails that have got to go in first. We've got to allow God to work his work. He has in Christ, but we're also going to experience it. So we're waiting on God. And as our faith is fed, we begin to look to the resurrection. As we yield to the Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead? God did. The Holy Spirit did. God gave him the power to raise himself from the dead. The entire Godhead was at work. Crucifixion and resurrection. Now let's look at the faith God has given us. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also, not our being, but you were also raised with him. How? Through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. The faith that God has put in you and I is resurrection faith. It's resurrection faith. The faith that God has placed within you is the same faith whereby God raised our Lord from the dead. The Spirit who dwells within you is the same Spirit who raised up Christ from the dead.
Well, thank you,
Lord. Let go and let him heal and work. It's through faith in the working of God. Our faith is in the working of God, whereby he raised Christ from the dead. It's not in our ability to please God by our own works. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so that faith which pleases God is a faith that raises from the dead. Let him crucify in order that we experience the resurrection. Friends, we have been raised up. We're new creations in Christ. Do we know what that means? We still think old creation, don't we? Fear and unbelief and pride and I don't know, does God love me and is he going to deliver me? Is it really God's will to set me free? Because we have a great general theology, don't we, that it is God's will. But do we know that it's God's will for me? God will do through me what he promises in his word. We know he's going to do it in the assembly, in the body of Christ, through the pastor. But do we know he's going to do it through me? That's faith. Faith personally identifies with the promise. Because faith personally identifies with Christ. It's not a general theological. You know, John 3:16, God so loved the world. Yeah, praise God, Jesus said that. He so loved the world, whosoever believes. But we don't get saved until we say, God so loved me that when I believe, then we get saved. Because I've believed that God so loved me, he gave me his only begotten Son. Faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which is the law, contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Disarmed principalities and powers, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Yeah.
We are entering in. We're not striving for victory. We're not striving for something we already have. We are entering in to what God has given us. It's the faith that God has placed within us by his Spirit that is a resurrection faith. It's an ascended faith, totally identifying with the full redemptive experience of Christ. Crucified, buried, praise God, but raised up and ascended. We're going to be persecuted. Why? Because of who dwells within us.
That's right.
We go through our trials. First, to perfect, as I said, that exercise, that daily exercise to strengthen faith, to get us to realise our dependence upon him. Because the greatest sin is independence from God. The whole point of sin, Adam's sin, self-will, I can live my life independent of God. There's the pride. That's the sin. That's where it all comes from. I can live. I have no need of God. That's the sin. Deal with that. How? By faith. A life of total dependence from the time we wake up in the morning to when we wake up the next morning, because even in our sleep, we're still dependent on God.
That's right, amen.
Constant dependence. You don't have to put the armour of God on every morning, because you shouldn't have taken it off the night before. 24 hours, 7 days a week, constantly prepared. In God's presence, dependent upon him. And that faith, yes, trials to perfect that area, suffering that we learn obedience, it exposes within us our need and God's provision. We've got to go through those things, and it works, what we should be experiencing, it works within us. I cannot do this in my own strength. So we seek God to feed that faith. And as we feed that faith, we find God's word taking over. Our thinking is adjusted to God's thinking. John 6, he tested the disciples. You give them something to eat. And he said that to test them, because he knew himself what he was going to do. And there they were, scratching their heads, working out. 200 pennies worth of food. There's a young man here with couple of loaves and some fish, but how's that going to work? Bring it here to me. Praise God. Lifted it up to heaven, blessed, and just fed the multitudes, just rested. Where was the sweat in that? Where was the work? Where was the running about in that? It's supernatural. It's the mind of Christ. That's how Jesus thinks. That's how faith thinks. That's the word of God, and that's the word he's put in our hearts, bringing us to that place. It's faith that is doing the work. It's our faith in the operation, the working of God, that resurrection faith. It's because we still, yes, but why? Yes, but how come? Yes, but why is that still in my life? Yes, but why is that still happening? It's because we're still, yes, but look at the circumstances. We're still believing the devil's lie. We're still reacting to fear. We're still looking at the foolishness of confessing God's word in the face of, yes, the symptoms are there, and the world is saying, why don't you just go, just get it seen to. Go to a doctor, go to a bank manager, get insurance and all the rest of it. But we're still, okay, yeah, all right. Because we're still too proud to look foolish as we confess the promises of God.
Yes.
Why? Because in our minds, yes, they're right. Logically, they're right. Why? Because there's still something in us that is ashamed to be totally dependent on our Heavenly Father. We're still too, in the world's thinking, grown up to be childlike. Not childish, but have a simple, childlike faith. We're still too sophisticated. And yet, here's the irony, if you will. God is maturing us, making sons out of us, because faith takes responsibility. It's a real responsibility to make a conscious decision that I am going to trust God all the way. I'm going to believe Him. My help, vain is the help of man, my help will come from God alone and no one else. It's a conscious decision. Again, we have to settle it, just like going to the cross. And if we haven't spent that time in settling it, we're only deluding ourselves. We haven't made that commitment. We're not truly trusting God, because we're still trying to look for an answer some other way, some sort of respectable way. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Make it respectable. But God is exposing. God is working. Because in that faith that is being birthed through, total trust in Him. And as we learn to speak that word, forget about ourselves, all that power in prayer, all that faith, all that knowledge of God's will. And this is important, because Jesus said, it's not Lord, Lord, but those that do the will of my Father. And the will of our Father begins at the cross. Until we've taken the cross up, we're never going to do God's will. We're going to strive in legalism. But God's will comes from the heart by faith, the Spirit that has worked in our hearts. And then instead of praying and earnestly and praying, seeking my needs, which God already knows about, we then begin to pray this apostolic faith, meeting, if you like, the needs of the kingdom. Haggai said, you're seeking your own houses. Is it time for you, Israel, to build your own house while my house lies waste? So, well, we're blessed in this assembly. Praise God. Yeah, okay. But if you lift your eyes above the parapet a bit and see the bigger picture, God's house is in a real mess. It's in a real mess. And there's a remnant, there is a hurting, faithful remnant out there crying out for a fraction of what we've been sitting on for years. They've been going through horrendous things with nothing. And here we are in all this opulence, thank you Jesus for this wonderful set of circumstances. Revelation raining down on us. God has withheld nothing. And all we can do with all of that is, Lord, my need. Me and my need. Me and my circumstances. Praise God. Glory to God. Hear the word of the Lord. Because as God begins to mature us in the faith, we're going to use that. God is going to take that for the work of His kingdom. That's truly seeking God's kingdom. And all these things will be added to us. He's given us promises so that we can trust Him, not work up a frenzy. He's given us promises so that we can look at them and not our circumstances. Now, the trials we go through are never easy. I'm not saying that. I'm not belittling what we have been going through. But until we can forget about what we're going through, start praising Him and looking to being used. Why has He put us in this assembly? Now, everyone thinks of prophecy and healing. The minute you start talking about being used, it's, you know, prophecy and healing. But there's many, many, many gifts and anointings, and we wait on God. But it's the attitude that, having received, freely you have received, freely give. As we come with that, then God will begin to move. Friends, our faith is not forgetting, it's forgiving. The apostles insisted that the ultimate of our faith was the crucified life. the cross having done its work, that we may know him. See, we're fellowshipping in his sufferings, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. That is the ultimate of our faith. Some of us are so pleased because, praise God, 30 years of faith and I finally, God manifested a healing. Praise God. Oh dear. Praise God for healing, but I mean, that isn't the issue, is it?
No.
It's the fullness of Christ. Sonship. The kingdom. The tearing down of strongholds and every argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Praise God. But we're not going to do that in our own strength either, are we?
No.
It's believing God. It's all it is. And letting, if we truly believe God, he will be doing that work in us and through us. You see, when Jesus suffered, it speaks of ultimately what he went, primarily what he went through at the cross. Jesus in his life, before he went to the cross, he knew, you know, he knew that that was what God had for him. And he subjected himself to the Father's will. He experienced submission to the Father's will. But his life was a complete life of bliss. The hope, whatever God did, he was doing through him. There was no sin God had to work on. There was no wrong attitude. There was no doubt. There was nothing God had to work on in him as such. Everything God did was through him. Acts 10:38, God was with him, the power of the Spirit. That was a blissful existence, wasn't it? Slightly less blissful than what he'd experienced in glory, obviously, but he took on a body and the Spirit just flowing through him. Yes, wilderness, and he was hungry, and he experienced all that a human body has to experience, but God was in complete control, the Holy Spirit just totally doing whatever the Father's will was for that day. Healing, deliverance, redemption being wrought. But in the garden, immediate reality of the cross the next morning, he found himself having to sweat drops of blood. See, learning obedience by the things that he suffered. Not because he was afraid or afraid for his own life, but he knew what was involved in his ministry and what he was set apart as the saviour of mankind, as a saviour of the elect. He knew that he had a body of flesh that could, unless he really touched his Father, that could let him down. He knew that if for one second, for one thought, resisted the cross, he would not be able to save mankind or save the elect. Potentially save mankind, you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
He had to go to the cross, complete victory, blood remaining pure, the Spirit remaining totally in control. Supernatural. So that when he went to the cross, his body yielded to that experience and gave up the ghost, you know, at the right time. There was he didn't die immediately, but the point is, through that agony, through that total experience, because he'd completely won the victory in the garden, there was nothing in him that in any way resisted the agony and the pain, the humiliation of it. The Holy Spirit was in complete control. That was the first time the Holy Spirit had to work in him. And he suffered that on our behalf. Not because there was sin there, but to make sure that his body yielded to that experience.
Thank you, Jesus.
His spirit, praise God, was in constant communion with the Father.
Glory.
The blasphemy of those heretics, the JDS people. Praise God. But you and I, we suffer. But do we always learn obedience? Because we haven't properly settled. We haven't been to the garden and allowed the Spirit to show us what is involved in this walk. What our problems are likely to be. areas in our heart of fear and unbelief, and that we're going to resist in the flesh. But as we settle that, as we allow the Spirit to show us what we're involved in, he will then give us the grace. Now, we can't possibly know it all, but as we mean business with God, as we present this body on that altar, as we cry out to God, you are the only, see, it's acknowledging, you are the only one who can work this in me. You're the only one who can do this. There are things in my heart that resist you. Remove them. Don't say, like, you know, give me a revelation of the cross, and yes, it's the crucified life, and we've removed the areas of self. It's, Father, crucify me. We make that commitment. Just simple, it's your will. From now on, Lord, your will, not mine. God will then give us the grace. And we'll find areas exposed. Areas that contradict that. And it's at that point our faith kicks in. No, I've settled it. I've settled it. These areas that still persist, I'm believing for change. I've settled my commitment. You see, where the devil robs us is we go through that experience, but we don't come out of it sinlessly perfect. We still miss it in areas. And the devil says, you see, you haven't settled it. You're not crucified. You haven't made that commitment. You don't believe it, do you? And like fools, we believe him. Friends, don't let's be foolish. We've made that commitment, and whatever comes up as an opposition, our faith kicks in because we believe the cross, we believe Jesus, we believe the word, we're believing it's a resurrection faith, we're believing for change, and that deliverance, that repentance will come. We're committed to change. We're committed to the cross. We're committed. Faith is a commitment, because it's a commitment that I'm willing to go through the trial. I'm believing that promise. I take full responsibility, success or failure. I can't blame the pastor. I can't blame the word. Can't blame God. There's things God is exposing, but I believe it. Now, friends, if we're not resting in that, if there's still fear, don't try it. Wait on God. Seek him. Develop that relationship, that prayer life, spending time in his presence. And at the time when faith is there, you will know. You'll just know. And you'll be not stepping out, oh, I'm stepping out in faith. No, we're obeying God. We're stepping out in obedience. It's God working that faith. And the fear will go. You see, unless we're going through our trials, how will we ever be delivered of fear? You're not going to be delivered from fear sitting in a chair, you know, all comfortable and no problems and, you know, medicines or whatever. But it's when we have no fleshly support and it's God alone, then we know we can talk about deliverance from fear. And what a glorious deliverance. What a blessing. Praise God. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And we can choose, do we have faith, that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or is it the law of sin and death working? Are we working away, trying to please God, trying to do what really only God can do? We can't raise ourselves up. Jesus did, because he was sinless. So his life, death couldn't hold him. But the reason death holds the human race is because of sin, because of fear of death. The enemy has got in. Death came by sin, Romans 5. Yes. But praise God, obedience and life and righteousness came by the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, imputed to us. Just as sin and death was imputed to all, so in Christ, life and righteousness imputed to us. But not only imputed, imparted as well. By the faith he has put within us. Friends, we're working far too hard. Most of it is working against God. We're resisting, we're struggling, we're fighting. Okay, let's be honest. All right. Let's come before him. Father, please begin to work with me that each day now I feed on your word. I feed my faith. I strengthen my faith on your word. Teach me what it is to walk totally dependent on you each day. And you know, as we do that, praying in the Spirit, we'll walk through our trials. Because without knowing it, without feeling it, as it were, we know it, but without feeling it, without being aware of it, that faith is being strengthened.
Yes.
And we come across a trial and, whoa, my faith can do that. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Because it's God working within us. Oh, hallelujah. You've got nothing to lose by trusting God. But it's, obviously, it works together. The commitment, it's bowing the knee and acknowledging that need. And God will then be found faithful. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, don't get me wrong, friends. There is a place for prayer and intercession. It's all, you know, but not for ourselves all the time. For the work of the kingdom, for the needs generally in the world, the sick, the lost, the body of Christ.
Yes.
Just speak the word of faith to your need. Spend the rest of the time fulfilling God's word.